What is going on, Spartan fans? Welcome back to another episode of the MSU Sports Zone podcast. We've had a three-week break, Christmas break. We enjoyed our time off, but it's time to get back to work. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about football transfers, football additions, all that stuff. Also, of course, Michigan State basketball. But first, let's talk about football. So far, guys, Michigan State has had 14 transfers out of the football program. They've also had five additions. I'm not going to really talk too much about the guys that have transferred out because you've seen all those names, you know, floating around, and basically you've seen it all over the place. But I am going to talk about the five additions the staff has added, because although they were talked about, they've kind of gone under the radar in a way. So first off, obviously, grad transfer quarterback Anthony Russo. Anthony Russo and Peyton Thorne are going to have a battle basically all spring. I don't think there's either one that's a clear-cut favorite as of now. I think that was much-needed depth in the quarterback room, obviously with Rocky Lombardi transferring. I thought maybe we would have seen another quarterback elect to transfer. That didn't happen. Who knows, though? With spring ball approaching or in a few months away, I don't know if one of the other quarterbacks will maybe elect to do that in the spring. Not sure, but nonetheless, Anthony Russo. Second, we had two running backs added to the roster, both great, great running backs. For those that didn't see the one yesterday, obviously, first off was Harold Joyner from Auburn University. He was a part of the 2018 class, was a former top 150 recruit. And yesterday, the staff added Kenneth Walker. It kind of went under the radar with obviously everything that went on yesterday. But Kenneth was a part of the 2019 recruiting class. I think he was a three-star, but I checked out his stats, guys. In two seasons, last season alone, he ran for 590 yards and had 13 touchdowns. So it's not your usual transfer where it was because of a lack of production. To me, it just looks like, I don't know. I'm not sure what the reason for the transfer is there. I saw a few highlights. He looks like a dominant runner. Quick, aggressive, runs over the DB. I mean, great, great addition. And the last two, one of the ones that went really under the radar that could possibly end up being the best one out of them all is offensive tackle Jarrett Hurst from Arkansas State. A lot of people thought he was a grad transfer at first, but obviously for those that looked at it closely, he was a part of the 2019 recruiting class as well. I think he spent only 1 or 2 years, don't quote me. I think it might have been one, possibly two, at Arkansas State. Absolutely dominated this past year, had plenty of suitors. I mean, you're talking about Texas, Baylor. I mean, you guys can go look up the list. He had plenty of suitors. And from what I read, he loved his first interaction with Michigan State and obviously, most importantly, offensive line coach Chris Kapilovich, which eventually led to Jarrett joining the Spartans. And last but not least, defensive end grad transfer Drew Jordan from Duke University. Not much to say about Drew. I don't really know a ton about him other than obviously he's a grad transfer from Duke. Had pretty good production at Duke in his 3+ seasons there. 40+ tackles, and then several tackles for loss, several sacks and all that stuff. I'm not huge into film breaking down. Didn't really get to study his film quite as much as others. I mean, I'm sure you guys, for those that follow people on Twitter, whatever it may be, I'm sure you've seen film on him. I haven't. All I know is, like I just said, grad transfer from Duke University at a much needed position. Obviously, defensive tackle is... he is a DN, but defensive line as a whole was a position of need. And I'm kind of surprised Michigan State didn't add someone else from the defensive line in the transfer portal. But let's get into that. So right now, people have asked, and I've also wondered myself. So I was talking to, obviously, you guys know Justin from Rivals, and he kind of clarified things with me just so I wanted to pass along some stuff I was told that, or he informed me about, that I really didn't know about. And I'm sure you guys would find informative as well. So right now, Michigan State is already up against the mid-year enroll limit for scholarship players. So if you're hoping for, or whatever the case may be, you know, other guys to leave, Michigan State to add other players, it's not likely that right now that's going to happen. And you guys also got to remember, I forget as well, but, you know, the semester starts, me included, I'll be at Michigan State, so I can tell you firsthand, the semester starts January 19th. So while these guys are players, they're also student athletes. So you got to remember, you got to take into consideration when a lot of these guys were going to transfer out, transfer in, it might have already happened. You know, it could end up happening towards spring ball more often. I know Michigan State doesn't have a spring break, but other colleges might. where players from other schools might say, hey, I'm, you know, not working out at another school. So if Michigan State does add other players, it's going to come more towards spring ball, you know, some of that stuff. It's not going to happen right now with, you know, college being a week away from starting. I doubt other players would, you know, want to transfer in like early February. I think right after the month of January ends, for most, I'd assume this, you know, I could be wrong, but most of the players are going to either be fit at their current school or they would have already made a move. I don't think you're going to see a lot of movement in February. You might see guys enter the portal, but I don't think they're going to find a home until around spring ball. So I want to get that out there. So Michigan State, I kind of went under the radar in my whole statement there. I was trying to point out that they're already up against the mid-year enrollment. And what I mean by that is, so Michigan State is already tight on spots enough, guys, on scholarship players. D'Antonio took, in 2020, he took a big class. And not only the big class part, but he took a lot of players that, let's be honest, a lot of these players that he took, Mel Tucker and the staff wouldn't have taken. And I'm not trying to be mean. You saw a lot of positive freshmen this year. Obviously, Jordan Simmons, Ricky White, Angelo Gross. And I'm expecting more of these guys to be future contributors like Devin Hightower. You know, I'm probably missing a name or two. But there's going to be more name. There's going to be more good guys from that class. But so basically what I'm trying to say is, we're already tight on scholarships as it is. So in order for Michigan State to potentially land a few additional players, they would need more attrition from the current roster. And what I mean by that, for those that don't know what attrition means, I'm sure most of you do, it means they would need other guys to eventually leave and transfer out of the program. So you guys might say, well, that should be easy, right? Not necessarily. I'm going to talk about guys that could end up doing that, but like I said, if they do end up doing it, it won't be for, I'm assuming it won't be till around spring ball, maybe a little early. I don't think you're going to see a lot more transfers right now. But I'll get into my point of what the guys are, and then I'll end it by this, and then I'll get into basketball. So potential other names to look out for that could transfer, and I'm not saying it's going to be right now. I'm just saying maybe before next season. Let's put it at that. For, you know, to limit the roster down in order for Michigan State to, say, pick up another transfer or two from the portal that they might like. Like, obviously, Ma's brother from USC, a guy like that. So, yeah, guys would include Theo Day. I'm kind of surprised he didn't make the move already, but maybe he just loves Michigan State. I don't know. And then a few running backs. Obviously, guys, we have six running backs on the roster now with adding Harold Joyner, Kenneth Walker yesterday, and obviously Davion Prim in the 2021 recruiting class. So that's three additional ones. So the three current ones, which is Brandon Wright, Elijah Collins, and a lot of people who forget about this name, I did include it, Donovan Eaglin. Yeah, that's a weird, I know a lot of you guys are like, who? He was the 2020 last recruit D'Antonio took at the very end. I was talking to someone close that said it was a reach, to say the least, and looking at it now, it was a reach. So like I said, guys that could end up leaving, you know, maybe to add, you guys always ask me for names. I'll give you a few just off my head. Theo Day, Brandon Wright, Elijah Collins, sadly enough, unless he just really goes out there and has a great spring ball, which I'm not saying he can't. It's just looking unlikely right now with adding two running backs in the portal. You know, it's just not looking likely, like I said. So those are three names. Donovan Eaglin, like I mentioned. And then two other names that probably you guys don't know much about, but you know, redshirt juniors that haven't really seen the field or dressed out this year alone very much. And these are two other guys, Mustafa Khalifa, who's an offensive tackle, and Deary Todd, who is a DN. Both of them haven't really dressed. Those are two other guys where I'm sure the staff had conversations with them this offseason. Like, you know, if you stay here, you're not going to play much. You know, we're not kicking you. Obviously, you guys know coaches can't pull scholarships. So they're not telling them, you know, we're going to pull your scholarship. But the kids say something in the mind, like I just said, you're not going to play much. You know, maybe going to another school, you're going to get a bigger opportunity. And I'll end it with this. While a lot of you guys, that point I just made, a lot of you guys are like, you know, probably thinking, yeah, that sounds about right. You know, why wouldn't anyone in their right mind, when a coach tells them you're not going to play here, kind of go somewhere else, you know, prove them. And some players want to prove the coach wrong, you know, kind of shove it up their butt in a way, like, hey, you don't think I'm good, I'm going to prove you wrong. But other players take that, like a man and say, hey, you know, I get the current situation. It's not going to work out for me here. I'd like to go somewhere else. But then you also get players, and this is a great point that Justin brought up and a few other player, excuse me, people told me that I just didn't think about and I should have thought about. And it's something simple, but, you know, when you guys are thinking a lot about sports, it just doesn't come to your mind. And that point was a lot of these players, they might, when Tucker tells them, you know, you're not going to play here. And I'm not saying Tucker told him that straight up, but it was probably in a conversation that was kind of probably brought up. You know what I mean? So he could end up saying, you know, you're not going to end up playing here. You know, if you go to a smaller school like a Western Michigan or whatever the case may be, a Northern Illinois like Rocky chose, you'll get a lot more playing time, potentially see the field twice as much as you would, triple as much as you would here. Some of those players on Michigan State might say, hey, you know, we appreciate you telling us that, coach, but our end goal might not be the NFL like everyone else. You know, not every 120 players on this team's end goal is the NFL. They might say it, but in reality, some of them know, look, I'm not, you got to have a backup plan. So I say that because some of these players might say, look at it as a big, in the big picture and say, you know, we're not playing much here. That's okay. We're going to ride it out. But in the end, we'd rather have a Michigan State degree compared to a MAC degree. And I know some of you guys might say, well, you know, that's simple, but that's something I didn't think about in the beginning. And now towards the end makes a lot more sense to me where some players that stick around, there's a lot of valid points for sticking around, even though knowing you're not going to play a ton. So that's something I wanted to point out to you guys, why some of these guys you're asking may not have left. That could be another reason for it. Now let's get into basketball, what I'm sure a lot of you guys wanted me to talk about, because I haven't made one of these in 3 weeks. So Michigan State has bounced off two straight victories in the Big Ten. They sit at 8-3 overall and 2-3 in the Big Ten after falling three straight times a week ago back. And yeah, so they will face Purdue tomorrow night, 7 p.m. on FS1. And what I will say personally, I know a lot of people say this every game, I think is a must win in a game that they should win if they want to have any hope of still staying alive in the Big Ten race and eventually possibly winning their third to fourth straight regular season title. And then who knows beyond after that. So I want to talk about this first. I'll talk about all the other stuff. But yeah, the next five games, because this hasn't really been brought up, but I took a look at our schedule, and not counting Purdue, after Purdue, the next five games to close out the month of January, guys, this is why I'm saying Purdue is a must win. After Purdue, at Iowa, versus Indiana, versus number 12 Illinois, at Rutgers, who we just beat, and then finally to close out the month of January, at 23rd, or I don't know if it's 25th, Ohio State. That's a place where Michigan State has always, I guess you could say, struggled in the past, was at Ohio State. They've had some good wins there, but I just, it always comes to mind those two straight losses we had in 2017 and 2018 there. So that's always been a Achilles heel going to Ohio State on the road. But in years past, we were pretty good there, but recently haven't been. So why I say tomorrow's a must win, those five games are a perfect example. And that's not even including Michigan State supposed to play 11-0 and dominant Michigan right now, which I never thought I would say this year. I thought they'd be good this year. Didn't know they'd be that good in year two under Juwan. But Hunter Dickinson's is another story. Not even trying to talk about that right now. But that's not even including Michigan twice. All these other games that Michigan State's supposed to play. Those are just the next five games to close out the month of January. So that's why I say tomorrow night against Purdue at the President Center is a must win. Now, let's get into what Michigan State has played recently, how they played, who I've liked, and all the good stuff. And most importantly, which I know a lot of you guys like me doing, I'll give you my lineup, who I think should be, what the lineup should be moving forward. So yeah, first off, one of the things I've been impressed with, and I'm not sure, you guys can remind me, but I don't think I was a Henry Doubter hater slash by any means. If there was a guy where I was questionable that I was wrong on, I would admit it. But I don't think Henry was one of them. Henry, I told you guys, have patience, all that stuff. The last two games, Aaron Henry has averaged 23.5 points per game, obviously going for 20 at Nebraska and then following it up against Rutgers at home with 27 points. He's also been shooting the ball over 40%. He's had several steals, several blocks, which is not surprising, but you know, you don't see guys nowadays being dominant on both ends of the floor. And that's what Aaron Henry has been the last two games. Absolutely dominant. Another bright spot, which you guys have all probably would agree with me on, has been A.J. Hogarth at the point guard position. I wasn't fond of the move when I – not – all right. I wasn't – when people were suggesting early on to start him, it was kind of catching me by surprise. And I know Izzo mentioned he was hurt a little bit in, you know, the build-up to the season. But you don't really see a lot of true freshmen at point guard be successful nowadays. Unless they're just a straight-up five-star, one-and-done player. You don't really see it. It took Cassius – you know, probably a year and a half, 2 years to get adjusted and be as dominant as he was. All the good point guards nowadays, at least in my opinion, you guys might disagree. But Hogarth's been phenomenal in his first two games starting at the point guard position. Rocket, Izzo mentioned, told Izzo that he just wasn't comfortable there. And Izzo said it's a shame on him for throwing him in the fire. If you guys don't know, Rocket has never played point guard in his life. And a lot of you guys might say, there's no way. But if you guys go back and look at tape, you know, at Spire Academy most notably, he's playing at the two with LaMelo Ball obviously running the show at point guard. You know, I'm not sure about AAU basketball. I'm pretty sure Jalen Terry, who obviously you guys know well, pretty sure he ran the show there, you know, when they played at the Detroit circuit. And yeah, I mean, obviously you guys remember last year Cassius ran the point. Rocket came off the bench of the two for the most part when Foster would be in there. So Rocket wasn't comfortable. He had a, just let's be honest, a shortened offseason, or not a shortened offseason, but with all the restrictions in place and not being able to do this or that, it was a tough offseason. Or shortened, let's be honest, it was a shortened offseason. And for Izzo just to throw him under the fire, he blamed himself. And a lot of people will blame Rocket. Izzo didn't do that. He said it's, I don't want to use percentages, but he pretty much said it was 95% his fault. So I want to get that out there. Hogarth has been phenomenal his first two games, starting at the point guard position. Obviously, I'm assuming he's going to start again tomorrow against Purdue. Why wouldn't he? But with all that being said, one guy that's been flying under the radar that's been more impressive than people want to give credit for, and I can't believe I'm doing this, guys, but I'm not saying he's been a superstar by any means, but he's definitely been better than people make it out as. And that's Thomas Kithier. I'm not emphasizing he should play 40 minutes a night. All I'm saying is the guy's not like Rocky Lombardi just throwing picks and all that out there. He's doing what he needs to do. You know, maybe his ceiling isn't as high as Sissoko. You guys know how I feel about Sissoko. I love the guy. But he's doing everything, and Izzo says it best. He says he does everything I tell him, and he doesn't mess up. You know, doesn't do stupid turnovers or just stupid plays out there. That's why Izzo plays him a lot. He's a perfect, what I call him, he's just a conservative basketball player. He's not going to give you the flashy 20 points, 15 rebounds, but he's also not going to go out there and give you 0.0 rebounds. And if he does, it's always a presence out there. He might do, you know, like I said, he might not be in it, you know, he might get boarded when we play, say, Michigan. Hunter Dickinson might give it to him, something like that. But he's going to fight back, and he's fought back a ton this year, in my opinion, guys. So I want to give Kithier some credit. He's been better than a lot of fans will give him credit for this year. I'm not saying he should be. I don't really know if you should start him. I'm going to get into that in a minute, but I just want to give Thomas Kithier credit. Now, like I mentioned, the lineup I'd love to see rolling forward, and a lot of people are going to disagree with this lineup. Some might agree. Some might be confused why I would put it, but this is what I've gathered and think this lineup it gives them Michigan State the best chance to go out on the floor and win and raise the ceiling even higher for this team. So starting at the point guard, obviously A.J. Hogarth, as I mentioned, after his first two games, you can't take him out. He's been great. He's been a good facilitator. He's only going to get better learning the offense, reading defenses better, reading, you know, I don't know. He's going to get better at the screen and rolls, everything out there. I'm honestly curious to know, and this is something no one's really said. I'm curious to know if him and Cassius have had any conversations. I know Cassius is obviously playing in the league right now. He's probably busy, but you know, I know Cassius is still tuned in. You see on his Instagram stories. I wonder if Cassius has given him any advice lately. I'm curious to know about that. nonetheless, A.J. Hogarth at point guard. At the two spot, this is taking a risk, but I think the ceiling is higher. I'd like to see Rocket. I know a lot of people are like Langford out there, but I'd like to see Rocket. He only got 15 minutes the other night. I don't really know why. Maybe people are going to say he's too reckless, takes dumb shots. Whatever. I think he gives his team a higher ceiling than Langford does. So that for that point, I would start him. At the three, obviously, this is no question, Aaron Henry. The dude's been an absolute baller the last two games. He's averaging 14.5 points on the year. And then at the 4 and 5, I'd go Hauser and Sissoko. It gives this team the highest ceiling to be successful and eventually, you know, reach their end goal, the national championship. And then I'd go Malik Hall and Langford. Hall playing a tiny bit more, but those two guys kind of split as a six man. That's what I would roll with going forward. And yeah, that's what I have going forward.